The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Getting your thoughts on what this Knick rotation is going to look like in the postseason with the changes right now. You know Julius Randle's out, done, not coming back, okay? So you figure your starting rotation, you figure, okay, Hart, OG, Brunson, DiVincenzo, Hartenstein. All right? Who's coming off the bench? Deuce McBride, I would think, would be your first guard off the bench, right? Bogdanovich, is he your first small forward off the bench? Does Burks get off the bench? We know Precious Achiuwa is going to get some playing time. You figure that Precious Achiuwa would come in for OG, right? How do you figure this rotation? Is Alec Burks coming off? Has Alec Burks done enough to come in to be in the playoff rotation? Has Bogdanovich done enough to come in to be a part of that rotation? I mean, he's scoring better, but defensively, oof, oof. I know I can see Tibbs cringing on the sideline. But he's not there for his defense. He's there for his offense. But in the postseason, or does Tibbs say, you know what, I've got Mitchell Robinson, I can bring him off the bench. I've got some extra fouls. Okay, if guys get by him, I've got a shot blocker there. Does that allow Bogdanovich, if he's hitting, to play more, get more playing time? You guys have criticized Tibbs a lot. Oh, he plays folks too much. He does that. All right, you're the head coach. What are you doing for the playoffs? 1-800-919-3776. Emil's in Jersey. Emil, what do you think? Hey, Emil.
Yes. Well, first of all, I don't really criticize Tibbs, but what I will say is that Alec Burks, I think him coming from Detroit, it's not a shot he doesn't like. So he takes bad shots. Of course, they want to try to come in to score, but he takes bad shots, and sometimes that to me it seems like I've been a Knick fan since '69, so we probably go way back, Mr. Hardesty. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes when I look at him taking those bad shots, that triggers another team's kind of two or three basket momentum, right? Question is, why doesn't he give Shake Milton a shot? You know, he's got him sitting there. Shake Milton played for Philly. He started a few games, and he was kind of effective against us. So that's one thing I would have. Bogdanovich, I think we could stay with Bogdanovich. I even question the fact that, hey, you know, start Bogdanovich and bring somebody else off the bench and see if he can go, because he's accustomed to being a starter. Give him a starting shot one time and see how that works. Maybe that might work better for him, because he seems like he can't adjust to coming off the bench, but you should be able to by now.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Tell me what you think.
All right, Emil. Thanks for the phone call. That's interesting. I don't think Tibbs is going to change his starting rotation in that sense as far as bringing Bogdanovich in. Not saying never, but I don't think so. I think that Tibbs is like having a defensive-minded head coach in the National Football League. All right, his priority is going to be defense. Of course he wants to score. Even the defensive-minded head coaches want to score because that's how you win. Even if you play the perfect defense, you don't score points, you're going to lose. All right, so he understands that, but I think that he will probably still go with Bogdanovich off the bench. You make an interesting point about Alec Burks, and his shot selection has not been the best. I like him better, to be honest, going towards the basket a little bit, get some layups, get a mid-range jumper going, and then expand your game out a little bit. So that's what I would like to see from him, just an opinion, as he comes in. And running the offense. And I like it when the Knicks push the basketball a little bit. I know they're not, they're not highly rated in pace. I know they're not highly rated as far as assists are concerned. I get it. But I just think they're a little better team when they're able to push the basketball. And because sometimes when they get into these half-court offenses, they look like they're walking in mud uphill. And it's a chore for them to try to get things going. It's a slog. It's rough. As far as Shake Milton is concerned, I mean, anything's possible. I don't see him being a part of the rotation. I think that he is right now, a guy who brings some experience into practice. He's a practice guy. He's a guy that can help coach up folks on the sidelines because he knows he's been through a couple of things. You're right, he's been a starter in Philly. He's been pretty good. He was pretty good there before they moved on from him. But I don't think he's going to see a lot of playing time. The question for me is what and how long Deuce McBride plays. And if he doesn't play the way he's playing now, what does that do and how does that change that rotation? I'm trying to think about all things, right? I'm not trying to say that I don't have faith in Deuce McBride because I do. But once again, it's just a different level, ladies and gentlemen. It's a different level. You're playing the same team at worst for a minimum of four games, for maybe seven. All right? For a range of 4 to 7 games. And they will have scouted you every possession, every game, every offensive move, every play that you have. They know. Unless you go do something different. And very rarely do teams make those type of things. You make adjustments every game. You make adjustments. You know what teams do. But, you know, your offense is your offense. You're not going to change your basic offense. It's coaches have said this. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this over the years about what coaches tell you about this. But it's about the execution. It's about they can know what's coming, but if you run the pick and roll right, they can't stop it. If you run the back door right, they can't stop it. If you do the things you're supposed to do, what we call the way you do them, the correct way, the way we run it in practice, you can't stop it. So that's their thought process. It's always going to be their thought process. And so, but when you are playing the same team and it's a team of really good talent, it's hard to do, man. It's hard. It's really hard. So that's what's going to be interesting. If the season ended today, right now, with the Knicks being in the fifth position, because they would lose the tiebreaker to Orlando. That's who they'd face in the first round. They'd face the Magic. And the Magic, while part of the reason the Knicks have issues with the Magic is because of the injuries that the Knicks have had, that's a big front line. That's a big front line. And so those are the things that concern you. Is how will the Knicks handle it? Now, obviously, with OG back and Mitchell Robinson back, you have more fouls to give. You've got more of a physical nature that you can be in these games. Okay, clearly. So that's going to kind of neutralize the issues you've had with Orlando during the regular season. Okay, but Orlando's still going to try to take the ball out of Brunson's hands. And the question from once again is, where is that other scoring coming from in the postseason? When they take the ball out of Brunson's hands and when Brunson is not on the floor, where is the offense coming from? Give me your thoughts next on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Tom Thibodeau on what's going on with this Knicks with these slow starts. It's the Larry Hardesty Show here on 98.7 ESPN. And he's right. And he said, good question, what's going on with the slow starts? I don't know. And I'm sure he does know. He's just not giving any information away. But it seems like, for me, just watching them, and in the postseason, you can't have slow starts. Slow starts will cause you don't come back. Because the teams that you're playing are better. So they're not going to allow you to get back. Yes, every team makes a run. Okay, yes. But in the postseason, those teams, the upper echelon teams, they don't allow you back in. Now, maybe a team like Orlando that doesn't have the experience of being in the postseason and you're just learning, like Cleveland did last year. You saw how Cleveland was with the Knicks last year. They just weren't ready for that next level, that physicality, what the playoffs allow. And you saw that the NBA with the officials are trying to, you know, get folks ready for the postseason, right? They are not calling a lot of stuff. They haven't been. There's been like bodies on the floor and nobody's calling anything. So they're starting to say, listen, this is not that we're going to be that bad about it, but we're not going to call everything that we call during the regular season, so just get ready for it. So because of that and the better teams, you're not gonna be able to mount a comeback. I mean, the Knicks were down, what, 20 against Sacramento? I mean, they were able to come back and beat them going away? It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen in the postseason. That's why, for me, what this rotation looks like is fascinating. It really is. What this rotation looks like and how they're going to respond and who's going to be in the games, that's what's going to make the difference in this squad. And, yeah, do I know about Tibbs and defense? Yeah, defense is going to be the main thing. All right? But you still have to be able to find ways to score. And coming off, I think, in a way, because of the success DiVincenzo's had, and I'm not criticizing him, just an observation, not judging him, just an observation. Because of the success he's had with the three, I think sometimes not hitting the threes early with the long rebounds going the other way has caused the Knicks some issues. So they put themselves in a spot where, on several occasions, because now the long rebound sets off the offense of your opponent going the other way, now your transition defense is suffering. And because of that, now you find yourself, you know, because you've really been three-point happy, you're now finding yourself down in games a lot. And then you have to wait until you get your 3 points going and the reins going and the field going and the baskets going in, and then you're able to get back a little bit. But ultimately, this Knicks team is only going to go as far as the defense takes them. And it's really about defense in the postseason. Yes, you have to score. Once again, I'm not saying you don't score. It's not what I'm saying. But you'd like your defense to funnel your scoring. And you'd like your defense to give you some opportunities for some easy baskets so that you're able to get on the break and you're able to get some layups and maybe you're able to get a transitional three and maybe you're able to do some things and it helps your rebounding. And so that's why I'm very curious as to how this Knicks rotation is going to look when you get to the postseason. Because of Bogdanović's last, let's say, 3-4 games, how he's looked a bit more aggressive, a bit more hitting the three, a little better. Sacramento game was really good. Miami, not bad. Because of that, do you now say, okay, he is familiar. As Emil said earlier, he's used to being a starter. Well, now you're coming off the bench. And minutes. And you don't have the time, really, to get into a rhythm. Okay, when you're starting, you know you're going to play X amount of minutes. You focus as a starter, you get out to you. You don't know how many minutes you're going to get on the bench. But I will say this. Here's what you do know. With Tibbs, if you're hitting baskets, you're not leaving the floor. He'll try to find a way to keep you in there. He'll try to find a way. It's not going to be easy from a defensive standpoint, but once again, with having more depth in the center position, he might be a bit more lenient in keeping Bogdanović in when his defense sometimes has not been the best. Okay, so he might do that. But I just have to be honest with you. If Deuce McBride plays close to the way Deuce McBride is playing now, I don't see an avenue where Alec Burks sees a lot of playing time in the postseason. I just don't. Unless there's a way that he just needs some more size, I don't see it. I don't see what he's been able to do offensively. I don't see what he's been able to do as far as handling the basketball and running the offense that I would say, okay, he's definitely got to have a spot in there. I really don't. I think Bogdanović, I think it's, for me, it would be McBride coming off the bench, Bogdanović and Nature. I think those are Mitchell Robinson. I think those are your four guys in a 9-man rotation. And I don't know that Tibbs is going to go 9. I mean, there might be some games where he goes 8. There might be games where you see people in the first half and not the second half. You know, obviously it's about matchups. Obviously it's about situations. Obviously it's about who's hot and who's not. But I just don't see where Burks is in that rotation. I just don't. Not done enough. Now, of course, once again, extenuating circumstances, foul trouble, something of that. Because once again, you got DiVincenzo. You've got Hart. And really, when Hart's in the game, Hart brings the ball up almost as much as Brunson or you know, McBride. And he loves to push the basketball, so I love it. Now, sometimes the passes he makes, he's got to rein himself in a little bit. But, I mean, that's the biggest criticism I can give of him, I'm good. He's a killer on the boards. He's solid defensively. He knows where the loose balls are. He does a great job. So, for me, that's, you know, he's starting. It's you're really kind of starting with a three-guard offense. And then you got OG and Hartenstein. And that's what you're doing. And, yeah, is that going to be an issue against an Orlando team that's big? Yeah, it is. But you have to find a way. And Hart is a rebounder that rebounds bigger than his size. I mean, this guy's triple doubles. And he passes the ball well. So, listen, but in the postseason, you need him to be more aggressive offensively. The way he was against Sacramento, that's the way you need him offensively. He's got to be more of a scorer. Okay? He's got to be able to put some points in. I need double figures from him point-wise. I can't have him give me a ton of rebounds, which is great assists, and give me like 4 points. I can't. I need more. I need as much scoring as possible because, once again, I know that it's going to be tough sledding for Jalen Brunson in the postseason. He's going to have to pick his spots. You have to run some different things off him for him to get his opportunities to perform and score baskets. It's going to be tough. And that's what I would do. If I'm playing the Knicks, I'm taking him away. Why would I allow him to beat me? I'm not doing it. Somebody else has got to beat me. Somebody else. And they're going to have to come up with some more intricate offensive moves to get people open, especially in the postseason, in the half-court offense. Because the weave at the top of the key is not going to get it done all the time. They got to come up with some other stuff. And I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will, based on what the opponent gives them and the opponent's weaknesses defensively. I expect that they will. But how far will they go? Well, I got to tell you, right now, with the way they are, if they can get me to a deep run in the Eastern Conference semis, I'm good. If they can get me to a deep run in the Eastern Conference semis, I'm good. I don't expect them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't. Now, if they do, great. I'll be happy to be wrong. As a Knicks fan, I'll be happy. But I don't see it. I don't see the depth. I don't see the quality depth. I don't see that they'll be able to do it. Because eventually, they got to face Boston. And even though I know Boston, from a coaching standpoint, people think Boston is can be had by the right team. I'm just saying, this year, Tatum and Brown look to be a little more in sync than they've been previously. All right? And they've got one of the best defensive point guards in the game, in Holiday. And, oh, by the way, the guy Porzingis, as the fourth option, has been pretty good. And Al Horford is still Al Horford. I mean, he's a guy that can kill you. And they've got, they've got people that hit threes. They've got a really good team. They've got a really good team. And if they don't win it this year, I don't know when they're going to win. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know when they're going to win. But on the other side, the Eastern Conference is wide open. The Eastern Conference is wide open. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Mets and Yankees about to get underway in the next 10 minutes. Mets in Cincinnati, Yankees at the stadium. And at 2 o'clock, Monica McNutt will join us here on the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN. Talking a little Knicks right now until then. Trying to figure out what this rotation should be and what do you expect? How deep can this team go? I mean, in January, I would have said, Eastern Conference Finals, baby. Let's see. I'll take the mantle against Boston. Let's go. That's what I would have said in January. This is April. Now I'm saying, Eastern Conference Semis, please. That's where I am right now because I don't know what this team is. I don't know who they are. I don't. Artie's in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
With Randall, I expected them to be in the top four. And okay. Interested if they played Sixers without Randall. I don't think they'd beat in any of those three. And they can lose to anybody, really, without Randall, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. I mean, they could pass the first round. And, you know, when they're playing well, they look – but if those threes aren't going, you know, obviously they're gonna try to keep the ball away from Brunson. I mean, it was a perfect example. The Knicks, Brunson gave up the ball to I'm blanking out, but the point guard, the second guard, he had a wide open three. They make it, they lose. Right. Yeah. They didn't, you know, he doesn't make the shot. Mm-hmm. The thing that bothers me more is that a healthy Randle, you see where the Knicks go, and then you have to make the move. Now mm-hmm. you don't really know about Randle. So I asked your producer, I said, the only guy that they could get now with just money without making any key moves is getting Donovan Mitchell. I'm asking you, if you get Mitchell with Randle, how far you is that a championship team? That's number one. And then okay. the number two is I have to throw in a Jet thing.
All right, go ahead, Douglas,
to me, put Jet thing. Douglas put a team together that I think is one of the best talent-wise out of all, other than the Super Bowl team. Mm-hmm. Does he get a chance to pick another coach? Because he did pick Sally, and he did pick and made a mistake on the quarterback. Does he get another chance, even though he put a good team together? Or right. do we just get rid of everybody?
Hold on Thanks. A second. Right, hold on. Hold on, Artie.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to ask you,
Thanks.
As a Jet fan,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
Do you want him to pick your next quarterback and your next head coach?
I do.
As a Jet fan. You want him to pick your next quarterback?
Yeah, because look. Just because he made a mistake on Zach, you got to look at the overall picture. Look at the talent that he put together. Look at the trades that he put together. I mean, this team. I don't want to jinx anything, but this team, talent wise, is uh-huh. just as good as anybody in the AFC right now. Yeah. You can't argue that point.
The only problem I have, Artie, and thanks for the phone call, and I love your passion as a Jet fan. Here's the issue I have. He has put together and he has made the moves he could make. But Artie, he's banking on guys to stay healthy that haven't been staying healthy. Okay, now I get Tyron Smith was pretty good last season. I get Morgan Moses was pretty healthy last season. Okay? But, you know, he's rolling the dice here. And, you know, even Williams, the wide receiver, is a guy who's uber talented, has trouble staying on the field. So, and you've got Aaron Rodgers, who we all agree is future Hall of Fame quarterback, multi-MVP in the league, great quarterback, great quarterback. Got a ring, great. But he's 40. So, everything has to go right for this to work. And Artie, for you and Jet fans, I hope it does. I hope it does. Because you guys have suffered and suffered and suffered for a long period of time with nothing to show for it. I mean, we're talking, it's funny, as a Knicks fan, we always wax poetic about the 90s Knicks, right? Oh, that with Ewing and the late Anthony Mason and Oakley and Starks and Greg Anthony and Xavier McDaniel and you know, all the players, all of them, Charlie Ward, everybody, even Patrick Ewing, everybody, okay? We wax poetic about those teams. Those teams did not win the championship. Didn't win one. As a Jet fan, you wax poetic about 09 and 10. And I was embedded with those teams. And those teams Great. He's, you know, AFC championship game. Got you there. Okay? A step away from the Super Bowl. That's been, what, 14 years ago? 15 years ago? I mean, it's a long time. So I hope that this works for you. I do. I hope it works for you. I hope it does. But everything has to go right. To answer your question further on about Joe Douglas, most GMs, Artie, when you make a mistake at the quarterback spot, at number two overall, you normally do not get a chance to make the next pick on the quarterback. Now, does that change because they have a Super Bowl this year, which I don't think they will, or, you know, because they have, you know, a really deep run in the postseason, we give them another chance, we run it back? I got to see how it goes. But he's been here 6 years. Right, this is the sixth year. And you're still trying to fix this offensive line. I mean, nobody's been able to fix this offensive line. And to make and to have a quarterback miss that badly, and I get it. None of the quarterbacks have looked good in that draft. Justin Fields is at a new place. All right? There's been issues. I get it. But I don't know. I don't know that I would have the confidence to have him pick my quarterback. And if I do, if he does pick the quarterback again, they better change how they train him and teach him and coach him up, because it hasn't worked. And that has transcended regimes. That's not just him. That was McCagnan before him. Had an issue. And before him, had an issue. So, you know, those are the things. So that's that part. As far as the Knicks are concerned, Artie, look. The offseason is going to be very interesting for this front office, because they have some major decisions to make. And I kind of mentioned it. And these are the smaller ones. What are you doing with Hartenstein? What are you doing with Achiuwa? What are you doing with OG? Now, I would say, clearly, they plan on signing OG Anunoby. You don't give up RJ and Emmanuel quickly to say that, well, we're only renting him for this season. No, they plan on signing him. And 15-2 playing with a record when he plays doesn't hurt his case. But now, and I'm not advocating this, but, okay, you have to now look and see, all right, where are we? And you can't look at it as, well, here's how you have to look at it. 15-2 was as great as we could be this year. That's the ceiling. 15-2 was the ceiling with everybody there and everything working. That was the ceiling. And the low end has been, okay, coming out, what are they, 13-13 or 14-14, something of that nature, since the All-Star break or something around there? That's the low. So where are you? How do you get to be closer to 15-2? I mean, the month of January, how great you were in January, whatever the record was. And how you are after the All-Star game. How do you change that? So right now, I would have to say, if it were me, postseason, not knowing what the postseason is going to be, I don't know if Bogdanovich and Burks are coming back. I wouldn't bring them back. I wouldn't bring Burks back. Would you? I wouldn't. Bogdanovich, maybe I saw he was in the playoffs. Would I bring him back? I don't know. Am I? Why would I bring him back? I got to see what he does. Once again, I don't know what the postseason looks like. But if you're asking me right now, why would I bring Bogdanovich back? I don't know that I would. I don't know. I think you need to look and see where's that next spot. And here's the wild card. I don't know what I'm getting from Julius Randle next year. I don't know what he's going to be with shoulder surgery. Is he going to have the same confidence that he can play the same game? Is he going to be the guy, the banging guy that he was here before the season? Is he going to be mentally confident that he can do whatever he has been able to do after having the pain of the shoulder originally and then trying to rehab it and having it pop out or whatever happened to it, a setback again that's saying to him, I got to have surgery. I don't know what Julius Randle is going to be here next year. And he's got two more years on this deal. So he's got next year and the year after. Do I try to move him? And if I'm trying to, if and hypothetically, do I try to move him? Just having a discussion. And then if I do, what am I getting for him? He's coming off shoulder surgery. What am I getting for Julius Randle? Nobody knows what he can do. I'm not going to be able to get anything for him. Probably if I'm thinking about moving him until trade deadline. All right. And already mentioned, you know, Spider, Donovan Mitchell. There's players' names that are associated with this Knick team that never go away. You know, Towns in Minnesota, Mitchell in Cleveland, you know, LaVine in Chicago. They never go away. They're always circling. Those guys are always hovering. Those names are always hovering around the Knicks. Always hovering around. It's like, oh, gosh. They have some decisions to make. I'll say that. And the other thing I will say is in 99, the Knicks made a mistaken decision in 1999. They made a mistake in their decision going forward. I'll explain to you what I mean next. You're listening to the Larry Hardesty Show here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, so in 1999, Knick fans, you'll remember, this was a team that was struggling in the first half. Okay, remember, it was strike short and there was issues and stuff going on. So they were struggling in the first half. And so they were able in the second half of the season to put a run together. And they ended up being the eighth seed. All right? But everybody knew this the talent was not an eighth-seeded team. It wasn't an eighth-seeded team. Ewing and Camby and Sprewell and Houston and Charlie Ward. And you know, Larry Johnson. This wasn't an eighth-seeded team, talent-wise. But they get the eighth seed. And they go in and they knock off Miami, the one seed. It was the first upset like that in NBA history or close to that nature. I forget the stat, but they upset the one seed on Allen Houston's layup. And I can see him in Miami now punching his fist, which was great. Okay, so the next season, you couldn't look at that team and say, okay, we could just run it back with what we had. You know you need to make adjustments because you had to look at what happened in the first half of that season. Okay, and you knew, listen, LJ was tremendous here, tremendous. Personally, it took me a while to warm up to LJ because I was a Anthony Mason guy, you know, late Anthony Mason. That was my guy, locksmith. That was, you know, He was the guy. But they made the move. They made the change. They decided we could make a move. And Larry Johnson for Anthony Mason. So I got it. I rode along with it. You know, it took me a while to warm up to him. But the other issue I had, the other concern I had was not with LJ's talent. I knew Grandmama was a bad boy. It was the injury issue and things with his back. So you had to know that you needed to make some adjustments. You need to make a couple of moves to put yourself that you could withstand what was going on if LJ had to miss some time. You needed to make a couple of additions. And so that's the concern that you have, is that you have to be brutally honest with yourself as a front office. And Leon Rose knows this. William Wesley knows this. The Knicks, Jim Dolan knows this. The Knicks, Tom Thibodeau knows this. But the temptation is, look how good we were. Maybe we shouldn't tinker it, but so much. Look how good, look what we were able to do when everybody was healthy. Look what we did. Look at that January. Look how good we were. We were dominant. People are coming back. Let's see what we do. Now, one of the things that's different is you got a couple of free agents that you have to make a decision on, as I mentioned. I would think Hartenstein would be back. I would think OG will be back. I would think Precious Achiuwa would be back. But then once again, you're like, okay, we're bringing back this person. I'm bringing back that person. OG's going to want next amount of money. Are you going to have money to sign anybody else? So while Artie's saying, you know, it's about money, it's going to be about, you know, eventually, what are you doing with all these draft picks? Like, you got them. You can't just continue to sit on them. So is it a situation where you try to identify and you wait and see who goes out early? See, here's the thing you have. And Alan Hahn and Bart Scott talked about this last week, and they're 1,000% right. In that you can't make a move too early because you want to see what happens in the postseason. Does somebody just, I got to get out of here. There's no way. I'll give you an example, just as an example. If the Clippers go out early, and if you follow the NBA, you've heard this conversation over the past couple weeks of some words from the Clippers, we don't know what our identity is, and we're struggling here, and Ty Lue says your identity, he responds, your identity is you're soft. Okay, so if they go out early, does one of those superstars, Kawhi or Paul George, do they say, you know what, I'm out of here. I don't want to do this. You got to get this out of here. You got to go. You got to do, you know, I want to go where I have a chance to win. This team is not like that, blah, blah, blah. You have to be in the position where somebody's sulking like that, that you can possibly make a move that would elevate your game, that elevates your team. Not saying either Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, but using that situation as an example, because that's what is out there in the media right now. All right? So you have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for a disgruntled somebody that's like, okay, I'm going to make that move, man. I'm tired of this. I don't want to hear this stuff. I don't want to hear this nonsense anymore. Like, we got to do something. Like, I'm running out of time. So that's where you save your draft choices and possibly moves people that you have. All right, so that's the scenario that you got. But once again, that's what the front office has to do. That front office has got to be brutally honest. If the goal is to win an NBA championship, has the roster we put together, could that happen? And the answer with the roster this year is no. It's not a championship roster. Could you make a deep run and some things go your right way? Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, that you have to look at it as like ultimately you have to look at it. Is this team as good and as deep as Milwaukee and Boston and the Nuggets in the West? The top four teams, is this roster as good as any of the top four teams? And the answer is no. And the next question is, well, how do we get there? 1-800-919-3776. Back to the phones we go. We got Greg and Piscataway. Greg, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you, my friend. What you got?
Hey, so, I mean, I don't Here's the thing. I think that if the front office sits down and has, you know, a frank conversation, I don't think that they would say that we're better than the Celtics, of course, if we ran it back. The Celtics or even Milwaukee. And even I was even a little scared of Miami. You know, as fun as the season was, and it was fun, and as optimistic as I was, if we have an open and honest conversation, I don't know if we're getting over that hump, man. So I think that if the opportunity presents itself to get something to take us to that next level, I think that they should jump all over. I don't think that they're going to say, oh, let's just run it back and kind of see where the chips lie.
Well, you hope
you know,
Greg.
I think it's going to – yeah, I think it's definitely going to take something to get us over to that championship. And I think that's the next step. We're in a good position, and I think it's let's go to the next step. Let's get a championship here.
Absolutely, Greg. Thanks for the phone call. Because that's how you have to look at it as a front office. Okay, you have to look. You have to be, as I said before, brutally honest. And you're being brutally honest. This team is not a championship team. The ceiling is not the NBA championship. The ceiling, this right now, and I don't know even. I mean, let's be honest. Even when they were playing the way they were in January, you thought they could make a run at the Eastern Conference Finals because of how they were playing. Okay? Because they brought in Anunoby and what you saw. You thought they could. All right? But now you have to look at this and say, hey, listen, are we as good as Boston? Are we as good as Milwaukee? Who still is... Even though they're two games, even though they've got, you know, they've had some stuff going on up there with coaches and stuff. So you take that into consideration too. Are you as good as the Nuggets, even though you beat them once this year? Are you as good as the top two or three teams in the world? Are you as good as Minnesota? Are you as good as OKC? Are you as good as the top four teams in the NBA? Can you, with this roster, win a championship? And the answer is, the way it's constructed right now, no. So the next job is, how do we get there? And how do we get there without mortgaging off our future? How do we get there and still keep sustainable success, still keep not blowing up the salary cap, and still have flexibility with rosters and moving draft choices? That's the challenge for the Knicks front office. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. We'll do that with Monica McNutt. She'll join us. We'll talk Knicks, and we'll talk NCAA women. That's next on 98.7 ESPN.